Revolutionary.org podcast coming your way, episode 599. Today we're doing a 2024 Mastron Revisited episode. So these episodes are very important. Momster and I were having a discussion on the pre-show about why we do these podcasts. And one of the important reasons is why is, look, over time, we learn how to use these compounds. When these compounds still first came out, Mastron came out in 1959. Didn't hit the market until 1970. That was a long time ago. That was before I was born. That Mobster was a kid at that time. Mobster, what were you, like a teenager at that time?
1959. I hadn't been born for 5 years, man. I didn't get going to 64. Yeah, I was 47. Now I hadn't even been born in 59.
Mobster was talking about 70,
I was only six.
He was talking about his World War II experiences and all that stuff.
Yeah, me in the Crimea.
And you know how he was in the trenches fighting on the Western Front. But look, at the end of the day, look, it's been a long time. And we've had different, even from 1970 to 1975, they made big advancements on how they use Mastron. And then to 1980 and on. So we have to continue to talk. We have to continue to read on this stuff and educate ourselves on how to use this stuff, better use this stuff. So how do we best use Mastron in 2024? Originally, it was sold. Eli Lilly got a license for the drug. They sold it as something called Drolbon, and it was first developed originally to combat breast cancer, and today it's used in the bodybuilding community. So, you know, when we think of breast cancer, why would they give something like Mastron for breast cancer? It's because it does have anti-estrogen properties, very powerful anti-estrogen properties, as a matter of fact. In fact, when you use it, you'll notice your estrogen will drop on it. If you're on a steroid cycle and you get blood work done, you'll notice your estrogen drops when you start Mastron. Also, you notice the hardness, the vascularity, the cuts to your muscles. So because it tightens everything up. So that is where a lot of guys really like Mastron. When Mastron first came in the bodybuilding scene, they loved it for that reason, because it kept their estrogen down. Remember, the war on estrogen and bodybuilding went on, especially in the 80s, because you had people trying to use and abuse steroids. Chemical warfare and bodybuilding was starting. And the trick was, do you know about Mastron or do you not know about Mastron? Because if you didn't know about Mastron, you could run a little more D-bol than the other guy. You could run a little more testosterone than the other guy, because the Mastron would act as the anti-estrogen in the body. Now, I think Mastron really got popular into the 90s, because guys not only realized the anti-estrogen power of Mastron, but they also noticed, wow, this stuff is amazing going into contests. So you got to keep in mind, throughout this era, Mastron was only available as Mastron propionate. So you had to pin this stuff every day, every other day, maybe every 3 days, but most people stuck to every other day or every day. So it was a pain in the ass. Now we have Underground Labs in 2024, which produce not just Mastron and Enfate, which you only have to pin once a week or once every, or a couple times a week. But they also have blends where they blend the Mastron with testosterone and with Tren, for example. They have other blends as well, but that's the most popular blend that they have. And it's a great recomp blend. So we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about dosing and stuff like that. But it's first important to remember that Mastron is a very weak steroid. On paper, it's only a 62-25 ratio of anabolic to androgenic ratio. Testosterone is 100 to 100. Now, I would argue those numbers don't really tell the whole story. I would argue that it's even lower than that. If you use it by itself, you're not going to get much of anything on Mastron. You'll get a little anti-estrogen properties, and you'll get a little hardness to your muscles. That's it. But it's not going to do anything. So really, I would say Mastron, mandatory, if you're going to use Mastron to get what you need out of it, you must stack it. So that's the most important thing I'll tell you on this podcast that we're doing. In 2024, stack Mastron. Don't use it by itself. It's not going to help you much. Mobster?
Yeah, I agree, Steve. I mean, let me talk about the scoring systems that we've seen. And Mastron is just not going to score that highly, full stop. And the scoring system is it's kind of like our way of trying to figure out what works better versus what doesn't work quite as successfully. And I've seen scoring systems that use 500. I've seen scoring systems that use 100, some that use less, marks out of 10 and all that kind of vibe, Steve. And I've got books here that try to use that, anabolic reference guides and so on and so forth. And the reality of the situation is it's super oversimplified. It's just trying to give you a kind of indication of potency and adrenergic effects and so on and so forth. But the reality is always going to be the individual response. The purpose of these podcasts is to try to give you up-to-date information and something that Steve and I were talking about at pre-show, and we're not going to talk about names or whatever else, is this idea of, when the product first came out, what was available at the time, the condition of the athletes, how the product was being used then versus what we've got available to us now, the access that we have now to greater levels of information, that we would run it slightly differently for different reasons and so on and so forth. Just let me give you an example. And Steve actually said this in a couple of similar revisited shows where he says he can't get his head around sometimes the misinformation that some users have about certain particular products. So we will see, as Steve said, and I actually use a cutout that's included a Masteron in it, as a the idea that Masteron's a cutting drug versus a hardening drug, and it's way more successful as a hardening drug than it is as a cutting drug. The problem that we have, the misinformation, if you like, is that we will see people with 10, 12, 15, 20% body fat using Masteron and saying that they didn't get much out of it. And you go, okay, you were fat. Now, not fat in a real world obese society kind of fat, but fat in bodybuilding terms. And the perception of how you want your body to be seen, that muscular hardness is almost evidential from visually, Steve, in a truly conditioned athlete, but also the actual physical sensation of flexing a muscle and feeling the contraction and sort of the contractile ability of that muscle. And then when you do that, it feels physically hard to the touch. Steve will, I'll let Steve touch upon something as well. Steve, when you've talked about your mass getting a massage back in the day and you were on Masteron at the time, but relate that story just to let the listeners know just the effect it was having on your body.
Yeah, and the massage therapist that I was using, she's she worked in the gym and she dealt with a lot of bodybuilders and weightlifters who came to her, and I was one of them. This is around the time I was dealing with a lot of pinched nerves and stuff like that. By the way, massage therapy, not a good idea for pinched nerves unless the person really, really knows what they're doing. But I don't think it's a really good idea. Yoga is much better idea, just for future reference on that. But she made the comment to me. She's like, I never felt someone with such hard muscles before. That's what Masteron does. Hardens up your muscles like a rock. And it felt like I was sleeping on rocks. If you got a chiseled back, it's gonna feel like you're sleeping on rocks, So you better make sure you have a soft mattress, when you sleep. But the key is why? Why does this happen? DHT, it's a DHT derivative. And look, at the end of the day, you have 5A reductase enzymes, which synthesizes DHT in the adrenal glands, in your testes, in your hair follicles, and your prostate. And it gives us man-like features. So 5% of testosterone that's produced gets converted to DHT. So anytime you use a moderate amount of testosterone in your body, you're getting some DHT conversion. That's why you notice some head hair loss, some prostate issues, some obviously the androgenic effects in the body when you're using more testosterone. But in DHT, there does not convert to estrogen. So Masteron itself, it's not like testosterone. It's not a testosterone derivative, it's a DHT derivative. So it's going to directly increase your DHT in the body without estrogen increasing at the same time. So really, that's why you get that binding effect almost, where your estrogen levels actually do drop. All things being equal, they do drop in the body. Your DHT goes up. Now, you can use some of these 5A reductase drugs that are out there, like finasteride or dutasteride, to block DHT conversion, although I don't recommend to use them because they
I
have
wouldn't even.
long-term problems. But you can use them for testosterone to block that conversion. But when you're taking something like Masteron or any DHT derivative, using those drugs does not help you because remember, they are directly DHT derivatives. They're not testosterone derivatives. So, one of the benefits of Masteron is that it does a great job of binding the sex hormone binding globulin, SHBG. And one of the things I've been kind of talking about the past few years that nobody else has is about SHBG being a barrier in bodybuilding. And that's one of the reasons why I'm sure you guys have argued with people about this. Some people say, well, you run steroids, you come off, whatever you gain, you can keep. You can keep those gains. You can keep that
All of it?
strength.
No, never, never.
But here's the thing, they're not thinking because they don't have, they don't have the bodybuilding IQ or the chemical IQ to understand the way the compounds work. When you're using anabolic steroids, one of the things they do, and Masteron does this very well, is they bind to SHBG. And SHBG, I consider it kind of, in place for a reason. And it's a protein that binds to sex steroids, renders them inactive. So I view SHBG as kind of a survival mechanism to prevent us from going too far off the deep end. Now, when you take anabolic steroids, especially something like Masteron, it drops SHBG in the body and it causes that barrier to come down, which allows you to push more and get more in out of bodybuilding. So that analogy that, oh, you come off and you can keep all your gains, it's just not true because those barriers go back up after you come off steroids, you see. So you're going to take a step back. You take two steps forward, you're going to have to take a step back. But my point is, talking about SHBG Mobster, is that Masteron does a beautiful job in on cycle when you're stacking it, besides all the hardening effects that I was talking about in the vascularity and the cuts and all that stuff. But it does a great job of making the other steroids in your cycle run that much better because
Yes, more
it
than
will
able.
cause more free testosterone ratio in the body. So it will actually, it will make 200 milligrams of testosterone or 500 milligrams of testosterone, whatever amount you're running, it will make it more effective in the body because it works at breaking down those barriers more. And just to be clear, all anabolic steroids in some capacity do bind to SHBG, but Masteron does it really, really well.
Let me touch upon just briefly, and we have actually touched upon this in a couple of other shows, the whole nature thing that Steve's just referred to in terms of not letting the body get too carried away, right? So we sometimes imagine ourselves to be an advanced version of the species, and the reality of the situation is, historically speaking, I think I saw a reference yesterday that says we've been around not even 0.002% of the life of the planet, Steve. And the idea that we're sort of advanced is almost ridiculous. There are multiple animals that have been on this planet longer than human beings. It's just that we're able to kick more ass and do more stuff and be more advanced in our own particular way. But in terms of the nature of our bodies, the reality of the situation is thus again, right? If we were able to sort of somehow unlock the key and open the door to crazy, crazy muscle gains, it'd actually be a bad idea. So let's say, for example, that I was 180 pounds and I was able to use a steroid and literally free up all the testosterone in my body, and I'm using a steroid on top of it and whatever, right? So every single thing that I would take as an injection or an oral was utilized 100%. And the more I took, the bigger I got. I could go from 180 to 400 pounds, depending on the amount of drugs that I'd taken. I'd be fucked. The additional 220 pounds of muscle would fuck me up. And this is the reason why nature doesn't allow you to get too carried away. You can't run around and hunt when you're 400 pounds, even if it's 400 pounds of muscle, unless you're like 9 foot tall, and you're not. So you haven't taken steroids to get taller. The sheer amount of muscle would take time for you to get used to. You would tear stuff, you would be straining your connective tissue, your bones wouldn't like it, and so on and so forth. And so it takes an incredibly long time for the human body to adapt in nature. Now we can force an adaptation, but the idea, and I'll touch on this as well, Steve, before I let you back in, the idea that you get to keep all your gains is ridiculous. And it just doesn't happen. I've used the analogy before, and we can argue the toss about the specifics, but I would be very happy, especially, and in fact, it was kind of worked that way for me for most of my lifting and especially my PED use career, that I was able to keep roughly 60% of anything that I gained. And I think that's a perfectly fine figure. Some people can't deal with the idea of only gaining 5 pounds on cycle. It would have taken you all fucking year on average to put on 3 pounds naturally, and you've gained 5 pounds in 8 weeks or 10 weeks. Have time off, recover, do a full PCT, plenty of time off, and do that again, and you are tripling what you would gain naturally. And you do that over multiple years, and you become a big, strong, lean, massive motherfucker. So, yeah, the nature thing and keeping all your gains, get your heads around it, guys. It's, again, there are always going to be genetic freaks out there. There's always going to be outliers, but the average person gains, typically, Steve, with no drugs, roughly 3 pounds a year of muscle. And this, of course, gives you additional strength and size. On steroids, I think perfectly fine, reasonable amount to gain on a year-by-year basis would be 6, maybe 10 pounds. But again, compare that to natural, it's fantastic. And keeping as much of those gains as possible is possible, but all of them, no, forget it. Back to you, Steve.
The Nature Boy. You know who the Nature Boy was in wrestling?
Yeah, the Ric Flair or something.
Yeah, Ric Flair. That's good. You know your wrestling history.
Yes, a little bit. I know that one.
You know Mobster. Mobster's a boomer when he can name.
Oh, man,
wrestler,
I read a lot of shit.
So okay, so how do we use Masteron? Very, very important. What do we snag Masteron with? And I already talked about NNTA versus propionate. Look, at the end of the day, I would say very, very simple when making a decision versus prop versus E, which should you pick? You want the flexibility of being able to start and stop, you know, having it in your system quicker, out of your system quicker, go with the propionate. If you're a competitor, if you're looking to do a vacation, if you're looking to do photo shoots, if you're looking to do a wedding, whatever, you want to be peaking at that time, you want to have it in your system, right? Is run that Masteron prop. Like if I was doing a reality TV show, Mobster, and part of the reality TV show was you know, I had to be a shirtless on the beach, I would be running a shit ton of Masteron prop leading up to it. If I had like 3 weeks left, they're like, well, we're shooting in 3 weeks. Here's your flight ticket. You're flying out to this island. Steve, you're going to be doing this reality show on the beach. I would love to do that, by the way, a dating reality show on the beach with a bunch of hot bikini clading babes. That would be fun, Mobster. That'd be fun. We should do it, me and you. And then we do the podcast from there. But okay, so we go out there.
You have to get old women to come for me, Steve. That's no good.
We'll get you some boomer.
Yeah,
you
have to be
it.
A boomer. Yeah.
So we go out there. I got 3 weeks left. I'm going on Masteron Prop. Masteron E is going to take too long to start peaking. So it's going to take 40, 50 days to start peaking in my body where I'm getting that really deep hardness. I want to harden up, though, within a week and a half. I want to go to Masteron Prop. So that would be why I would choose Masteron Prop. You just got to accept, you got to inject it more often, you know, and that's something that a lot of people don't want to do. So those of you who don't want to do that and you're not in a rush and you've got time to be, you don't have to worry about that flexibility aspect, then use a Masteron E. And look, the dosing anywhere from 250 to 300 minimum. Okay. If you're going to get the results as a man, you got to do it that minimum 500. Really, you're really, once it's peaking your system, you're going to have some really good results. Now, some of the hardcore guys on the forum, you know, the bodybuilders, the Pigsies, the Monstros, those guys on our forum, they'll run more going into a competition. They'll be up at 1,000 or higher because they really want to take things to another level with the vascularity effects and stuff. Mobster touched on that, and then talks start getting into some of the stacks.
A couple of things, Steve. So I'm thinking, because I used, as you know, a few months ago before Christmas, a cutter product which combined Tren, a form of Cest, and a form of Masteron. And as Steve says, so for me, a cutter, something like the situation that Steve described, and other examples might be a bodybuilding competition, especially towards the end of a competition cycle, or even the other example given was a modeling gig where, you know, you're in reasonable shape, but you need to be in fantastic shape for the camera, on the beach, in the studio, whatever else. Absolutely prop, Steve, all day long. If I was going for the specific hardening effects, I think the enamel fake. But again, I would give myself a little bit more time. And again, I'd be working much more I'm much harder on the nutritional side, much harder on the faster side, much harder on the cardio side to get my body fat levels down. Whereas, of course, what the suggestion already is that I'm in reasonable shape and I want something to polish. On, as Steve said, on the competition bodybuilding side, those that want to compete as amateurs or pros, he's described it as chemical warfare, and I agree again. And the levels there is definitely higher. One of the analogies that sprung to mind when Steve was talking about that, and I'm thinking again of Dorian Yates, who I've used as other examples in other podcasts, with the quote unquote, the muscles looking like granite, like they were chiseled out. And other pro bodybuilders have talked about the seeing that both in themselves and specifically when they refer to how Dorian looked to them the first time that they saw him. And it's a kind of weird situation. It's very, very difficult to capture on camera, Steve. But they say when you're standing next to someone like that, you're not just seeing striations, you're not just seeing low body fat levels, which you would expect, especially in a top athlete, someone who's going to kick ass and place in the top three. But that you're not, because they're not feeling each other's muscles, except maybe when they give each other a hug when they win. What they are doing is that visual perception of the almost chiseled kind of condition that the truly top bodybuilder, amateur or pro, gets into when you kind of almost know, Steve. Literally, you can be at the back of the auditorium and you get a sensation of this person's going to fucking win. And it's visceral. It's hard to describe. And each person will probably have a different definition for it. But up close, when you see that kind of person, when you see that chiseled look, when you almost have a sensation of the hardness, that's when that person is in the condition of a winner. And only the aesthetics and the judging is going to decide differently or otherwise. But you 100% would not be able to deny that person's condition. Now, that is for competing, amateur or pros. It's not what most of us want. It's not what most of us are going for. And to be perfectly honest, and I've touched on this before, it's kind of uncomfortable and not very healthy to be there. And it's almost a temporary place. You're not there for long, 3 days at the most. And for most people, it's a matter of hours on the afternoon or the evening of a competition. But yeah, just to give you an idea of the outer-worldly way that the top athletes get, Steve, in terms of shape and mass and actually place in their stacks for a lot of them, it will vary from one individual, one athlete to the next. But yeah, definitely has a place to still play in there. And when you're super lean, you will almost be able to see that kind of hardness that it gives to the physique and the polish that it gives to the physique. So yeah, in terms of dosing, I'm going to agree with Steve on the numbers. I don't think that the typical user, the listener of this show, unless they're competing, needs to go crazy. And again, I would want to know what else they were stacking. I'd want to know what condition they were in at the beginning and so on and so forth, Steve. But I think the circa 300 milligrams as part of a stack, and my own cutter that I did, Steve, I think it was only around circa 200 milligrams total. I think slightly less, 175 total, with each of the three steroids that were in the cutter product. These are very, very popular. And the only negative I've seen, and I'll mention this as well, was a recent Dave Palumbo podcast of his own, where he said that he thought that some UGLs were had a lot of blends because they can mess up and play with the ratios of the products and ingredients in there. We have approved sources, Steve. We know that these products are getting tested. We know what they're coming back as. We know what's in those products because of the test. And the approved sources definitely have the ratios and the numbers that they're supposed to have. So I can throw that back in Dave's face, at least on that subject. Back to you for a moment, Steve.
Yeah, it's not a guy I would listen to anything on. So here's different steroid ideas. Now, Masteron competitor, you know, I mentioned it. You mentioned it, Tren. A lot of people like to stack Masteron and Tren together. I've always viewed them as like peanut butter and jelly. They're really, really good together. They kind of yin and yang each other. They cover up each other's deficiency. So really, really good stack would be just Tren and Masteron. That's it. Nothing else. So now you're combining a DHT in there. Another good one that you could stack with Masteron would be testosterone. If you're looking for a nice, effective, you know, lean bulker slash hardener, you could go ahead and stack them, and you could play around with the ratios. You know, like you could do a little more testosterone, and then kind of yin and yang the amount of Masteron you're doing. So again, when it comes to stacking steroids, I don't think people grasp the idea behind stacking. You've got to balance things out in the body. You've got one side hardening and then the other side, doing something else. So testosterone is not going to harden you up, but Mastron will. So obviously you stack them. You don't stack two hardeners. So I wouldn't stack Winstrol with Mastron. I wouldn't stack Anavar with Mastron, really, because that's kind of pointless. So if you're going to do that, might as well just increase the dose of Mastron in the first place. That's my view. So, but Mastron stacks good. You could stack it with a nandrolone option, NPP or DECA. It works really good at balancing DHN versus DHT. We talked about that on the DECA episode we did. And then I have a lot of respect for, stacking. You could do equipoise, some test equipoise, and then Mastron. You could use Mastron as a finisher on a cycle. It works really good to really harden things up going into, any type of situation where you just want to look good toward the end. But keep in mind, once you stop that Mastron's out of your system, that hardening goes away. It doesn't just stick around, So that's really cool. That's a really, really cool effect that I can do as well. So it's like, there's really no wrong way to use Mastron, I think, overall, because like we said, it's going to help you. It's going to help you harden up. It's going to help bind to SHBG. It's going to do a lot of things on your cycle to make it more effective. So really, it's a lot of people like to use it. But the most popular stack is what Mobster and I were alluding to, Tren, Mastron, some testosterone, great recomp
Short
effect in the
estrogen.
body. So if you want to do, you want to try a recomp, those would be the three to do right there. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Steve. The particular cut of product, and it's not unique. There are other similar products out there. It's all short acting esters. So, test prop, Trenace, and the Masteron in there, Steve. All short acting esters. And a great combination. In fact, even I've talked about the recomposition effects. The one thing I would say that is a negative, which would be, in my opinion, the way not to use it, and I touched on it in the show, and I see this sometimes on the forums, is don't be fat. Do not think that you can use Masteron in a particular combination and you're going to harden your muscles up. You're not going to see shit if you're fat. I can't see the point. For example, Steve, there's no point having a hard six pack or a hard chest if it's covered with an inch of fat. It's just no. You're fine. You can poke it with your finger. You feel good. But the reality of the situation, we're talking about bodybuilding, so it's as much as how you look as how you feel in terms of muscle hardness. Does it work as a muscle hardener? Yes. Do you want to get the best out of it? Of course you do. That's the reason you're listening to this show. So don't be fat. What do we mean by fat? And again, this is compared to the average person in the high street in America or in the United Kingdom or wherever in the world, obesity being the epidemic that it is. We mean sub 15%. And in reality, we really mean, because actually 15% is kind of normal, we really mean getting closer to 10%. And what happens at 10% is your abs start to pop. When you get under 10%, and I've been there many years ago, Steve, hell, I could still see something on my abs now, the body fat that I am, in the mirror when I get out of the fucking shower. And that's just because I'm a big muscular motherfucker. Not bodybuilder, but still a big muscular motherfucker. Sub 10% is when you'll start to see lines of separation. Now, then when you're going to add a drug like Masteron that gives you a polish, then you're going to see the benefits of it. And again, bodybuilding is visual. No one's asking to measure your muscles. No one's asking how much you bench press, or if they do, it doesn't fucking matter. No one does that when you're on stage or competing or a modeling gig. You just need to look a certain way. Now, the effects of cutting and hardening is where that visual thing starts to come in, where you're going to see the delineated pecs, you're going to see the abs popping, where you're going to see separation between bicep and tricep. And that's the visual. That's what you want to look for. Guys, even if it's just looking good down in a club, the idea that your triceps is going to pop up through your fucking shirt, whether it's a dress shirt or a t-shirt or your jeans or your shorts or whatever else, whether you're on the beach, and we've talked about being beach ready, Mastron's got a great place to play there, and it doesn't have to be crazy high dosages. That's where you want to look hard and be hard to the touch. If you score, Stephen, let's add that sexual element for the younger listeners, the 25-year-olds looking to look good for the club. They want the women running their hands over your chest. You want the massage. person that Steve was working with to go, what the fuck is this shit? That's the whole thing that you're aiming for, guys. You want to look good. You want to feel good. And at some point, the young lady's got her arms around your biceps, holding your forearm, running her fingers across your chest. And you're not even sensing in your muscles feel hard. That is the fucking reason why you've done it. Let's be honest, Steve. You're not going to bench press more. You're not going to curl more. That's the reason why you're doing it. So you can kick ass and people are looking at you on the beach. So you get that modeling gig. So you win the bodybuilding competition. That's the reason why you're using this. You've got to be honest about it. But be honest about it too. If you're a little bit out of condition, a few percentage body fat too high, diet. And diet before you start the stack. So you get the absolute best out of it. I think that's a super important point to make on a lot of these shows, Steve. We want people to get the absolute best results they possibly can from their training cycle, from the diet, from the nutrition, from the cardio, and especially from the PEDs. We don't want you to have to make the mistakes that we might have made in the past and other people have made in the past. We want you to learn from those mistakes, learn from the science, like Steve says, understand the side effects and whatever else, and get the full-blown top benefits you possibly can. And it ain't from 15 or 18 of the 20% body fat. If that's where you are, start to get lean, start to get in a shape. And remember, that's what we're about on this podcast. Let us know what you think in the comments. Come onto the forum. Talk to us about Masteron. Talk to us about the dosage. What was your results when you use it? And we'd be interested to find out. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It's our view and based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast of informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.